Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Last time I talked to Reverend Dr. Phil DeLong, who's from Port Orange, Florida, it was such an enjoyable conversation, and he had so many things that we could talk about. He's knowledgeable on many, many different areas. I'm sure he's spent a good part of his life learning these things. He's also a very gifted person. I think he's an amazing healer, from what I've heard, and a very enlightened individual, and so it's good to talk to him once again. How you doing, Phil?
I'm doing fine, TJ, and thank you for having me on your show.
Well, I'm just glad you agreed to come on. Not everybody does. So what, okay. What have you been doing with yourself, Phil? What have you been doing?
Well, I have been busy doing some healing work, doing some spiritual counseling work, and teaching. And teaching would be the metaphysical courses.
Now, what is that? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. What is that group that you belong to? You told me there was. What is that name of that group?
It is the International Association of Metaphysics.
So it's not the International House of Pancakes, because that's what I've been telling people. I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Okay.
You're probably thinking this.
No, that's fine.
Why did I talk to this guy? I'm sorry. You know, my energy gets charged up when I talk to you. I'm sure a lot of people do, right?
Well, up in your neck of the woods, they call them flapjacks, don't they?
That's right, they do. You're from Michigan originally. Now, I wouldn't give, you know, normally I don't give my guests a whole lot of grief, but I know you got a good sense of humor. I know you're a real humble individual, and certainly I don't mean to make light of what you do, because it sounds like it's pretty amazing stuff that I've heard from Frank Vecino, who's been on my show before. So, go ahead. You were with the International. See, I didn't even get the name of it. What is it called? I'm sorry.
It's the International Association of Metaphysics. It is located in Lake Helen, Florida, but it is worldwide, and it is an educational institute where people come and they take courses to become a spiritual healer, a medium or spiritual counselor, and a minister.
Now, if you can't make it down to Florida, is this there like an online course you can take? Or
there is not an online course yet, but we are in the process of creating that.
Cool. And do they charge a lot of money for somebody to go through these courses, or is it relatively affordable?
It's relatively affordable. It is, I believe the membership dues are $15 a year.
Oh, my goodness.
The courses, they normally range about $10 a week.
That's pretty, very affordable.
And that's about a two-hour course. So
that's very affordable. And you're saying anybody, even a talk show host / radio announcer, could probably be trained to learn these kind of things, right?
Yes. It is all what we call development, and we have to understand that everybody has those inane gifts inside of them. And all it is relearning what you already know.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. But then, I'm sure some people are going to have blockages because they just don't believe, right? You have to get to the point where you know and believe.
That has to do with trust and control, and it has to do with our belief systems. And we go through a lot of things during life. Some of it is some of the trust and control comes from our parents. So we trust them to give us the education that we need, the religion that we need. But what happens when we go into the educational system and religious systems, then they place their control on us. So we have a lot of beliefs based on that trust that we need to awaken.
Mm-hmm. Remember.
Spiritually awaken. Yes.
Now, and also a big part of it, too, is like when, because I was just talking about this with somebody today, we also get caught in fear, don't we? That's what really locks us in with some of these beliefs that we have. We don't believe, you know, if we feel like if we stray from those beliefs that something could happen. So fear is a big part of it as well, isn't it?
That's correct. And there's a lot of acronyms for fear. One is false evidence appearing real, or false events appearing real. We have face everything and run, which is one of our instincts. And the other one is, again, face everything and rise.
That's good.
And that's where we, you know, get our own empowerment and go forward and make the decisions that we need to, based on our inner knowing, not our, what our programming and thoughts are.
Yeah. And we have several things. You and I have talked about this before. I mean, we know what we're stepping into when we come here. We know what we're getting into. And it's part of the journey, isn't it?
Yes. Life isn't an experience, and it is those experiences that we go through that are shape our soul path as to where we are headed.
So we're like always evolving. We're always constantly creating and evolving, right?
Yes, we are, but we have several egos that may take us off our evolvement. But we always find ourselves back on the path.
So you've been with this organization, how long have you been a part of that?
I have been with the organization about 10 years now.
Wow. Now, was there a time in your life, Phil, where you were maybe doubting things or afraid to look at things, or were you just, I mean, was there a time in your life when you were on that course as well?
Not particularly. It all started when I was young, and I had imaginary friends, which most people do to about their 7 or 8, and it is, those people are your guides that kind of shape you when you're young. My parents, when I was growing up, were strict Catholics. So then, based on the religion, that's where that trust and control came, and these things do not exist, and you have an overactive imagination. So it's a lot of these things are squashed when you are developing as a child or in those years.
So was there a point where you bought into what Mom and Dad said?
Oh, yes, it was. Now, when I was 12 years old, then I had a near-death experience where I was riding a bicycle. And I was, you know, kind of run over by a Jeep and dragged.
Wait a second, kind of. You said kind of? What does that mean?
No, I had a near-death experience.
Okay. But you were run over. You were actually run over.
Yeah.
And you were dragged by a Jeep.
Yeah, and I was unconscious for 3 days.
Wow.
And it's one of these things where there was no tunnel that you went down, that I went down. There was no relatives, you know, greeting. It was just totally in the white light.
Was there any religious figures in that white light?
Well, what had come to me was Archangel Michael after I was, you know, because this is where time and space, where it seemed like, even though it was 3 days, it seemed like an eternity. So Michael came to me. He took me around the universe and showed me how things were created, and they were all created by thought. Mm-hmm. All right. All mm-hmm. positive thoughts. And it was just amazing, is all I can say.
So was it
when
like,
I go into.
Go ahead.
Nope, go ahead.
I was just going to say it was like euphoria. You didn't want to leave, I'm guessing.
That's correct.
Okay. And you
no,
felt.
It's what we call, you know, we are a point of light within the universe. So we're a point of light within a greater light, which is the central sun or the cosmic sun. And we just have to realize that we're all part of that oneness.
Mm-hmm. Well, most people that have near death say one thing is they don't want to return to their body. So why do you think you had this event? Why did this happen to you?
It was to become spiritually aware.
So those things, they happen for that reason. Now, you must have almost planned this out then or brought it into your life. Because it's not nothing happens by accident, right? So did you set it up for yourself in this lifetime that when you reach a certain age, there was a good chance you would become aware?
I would say you are correct in that assumption. Now, when I was smaller, probably about 7 or 8 years old, I had a recurring dream that this accident was going to happen.
Really?
Whew. Yeah. So.
And how bad did it mess you up, Phil? Did you completely recover?
Well, yeah, I did. I have a couple scars, you know, still showing that event, I guess you would call it. But mm-hmm. I completely recovered. I almost lost my ear, so.
Wow.
But I have good hearing with that. And I was in that coma for 3 days, and what brought me back actually was prayer, right? Because I'm sitting in my hospital bed. I opened my eyes, and it was a white ceiling. And my first words out of me were, "Am I in heaven?" All right, and mm-hmm. then I actually saw Mother Mary, or what I call now the Divine Feminine, place me back in my body.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And so when you said prayer, you mean the prayer of others is what brought you back?
That's correct, the prayer of others.
And correct me if I'm wrong on this, Phil, but from what I understand, when you offer a prayer, whether it's through the native prayer or just people praying, the person really is the one that's in charge. You know, you could say, well, I prayed for this person to get better. But we really are the ones that have to make that decision, don't we?
There are two thoughts on prayer and for receiving healing. And one of them is that you have to ask the person's permission for that healing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right, and the other one is you send that healing out to the person who needs it, and they will receive that healing energy. Now, that's the thought that I work off of.
You can send it to them, and it's they will receive it, but whether or not they choose to, you know, I've heard it so many times, it's happened to me with friends that I know, whether they choose to, let's say somebody's on the edge of dying. And they may live or they may die. And you may do a prayer or even a native prayer where you throw the tobacco in the fire and you say their name. And, you know, the way it was explained to me by the natives is that it magnifies the thought that you're sending them. You're basically saying, I wish the best for you, whatever way you choose to go with this, whether you choose to stay or leave.
Yeah, that's correct, and the most part is in the healing work is the person has to believe that healing is going to have the benefit for them.
So, and also, don't you think people have a course that maybe we don't know their course that they planned? Well, you don't really plan it out completely. I mean, someone maybe before you get here, but also, while you're here, you're constantly creating. So maybe they wanted to pass on a certain date. And do you always see that? Do you recognize that, Phil, when you're working with people like that?
You're talking about life contracts, and we're here, and it's all written out, and this is when you were born, this is your expiration date.
Like milk, and like some milk, right?
Yes.
I hope I have a good shelf life on mine.
But the thing of it is we all have free will, so we more or less make choices that life contract can be changed.
Mm-hmm. That's what I believe, right? Too. I believe that as well, yes.
And, you know, if you're doing what I would call karmic work, then you are making positive changes in that life contract, you know. If you make negative choices, then you can affect that the other way.
Hmm. So you could really speed up your expiration date? Is that what you're saying? It's like leaving the milk out in the sun or potato salad. And no, that's probably not a good example, is it?
Well, yeah, there is. And it has been said that certain lifestyles will affect that.
Okay.
So... And we've heard it all. I think when I was in college, being reckless, abandoned, you know, person.
You were a reckless, abandoned person, Phil?
No, reckless abandonment, yes, or abandoned, whatever you call it.
You were a person.
Yes, I had people say, you're not going to live till you're 25.
Wow. So Phil was the party animal at one time. Hmm?
Perhaps.
You know what? At least you're honest about it and you can laugh about it. Because there are people out there, yeah, I've talked to that will make it sound like they've led these wonderful lives. And it's like, we all know pretty much everybody wasn't born with immediate enlightenment and pursued that most of their life. You fell into it somewhere along the way. And, I mean, that's part of the fun of it anyway. So I like the fact that you can laugh at yourself about it. Why not?
Well, it all has to do with, you know, that experience that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And then to know that you can leave the past in the past and live in the now and make the positive changes that you need to do.
And I can, and I certainly don't mean to offend you, Phil, and you know this, right? But I just kind of have like this kid at heart, kind of little silliness at times. So hopefully that's something I assume that you're kind of connected to that as well, right?
Oh, yes. Laughter is the best medicine, believe me.
Do you use that when you heal people? Do you joke around at all with them, or is it pretty serious?
Actually, when I do the healing, I will talk about it later, but pretty much I just am a channel for that energy coming in.
Okay.
So, and I just, you know, allow it to flow.
And you've been healing people for how long?
Well, probably all my life, because healing comes in many forms.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, laughter is one of them. But for healing on a spiritual basis, the last 10 years or so.
Okay. So we were going to talk about, I guess, one of the topics was healing, and especially you had written down emotions, and I'm sure that, you know, we all have things we have to deal with that maybe are keeping us from healing, and we have to let go. We have to let go of those, don't we, Phil?
Yes, we do.
And those I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say those are the things that are really making us sick to begin with, aren't they?
That's correct.
Okay.
Now, in our aura, we have a couple fields. And we have the physical body. We have our etheric body, which is our physical duplicate. We have an emotional body, a mental body, and then a spiritual body. But everything that affects our physical body comes through the emotional body.
Okay.
And then that kind of affects our etheric body, which is basically a mesh around us. And if that mesh has holes, then it makes us physically sick.
Mm. Kind of like our aura that goes around us, you mean? Like that auric
that's
field?
That's correct. Okay. That's the auric field. And so everything is in the emotional body. So when we get upset about things, then it will affect us emotionally. If we bottle things in emotionally, that will make us ill. A lot of what I call it the C word, but we can refer to it as cancer just this once. But
sure.
When that is brought in, then it is coming from the emotional field. Some of it comes from karma, and some of it comes from past actions and what I would call unforgiveness.
Mm, wow, that's good.
All right, and that's powerful. And in that emotional body, what we have are, say, spiritual cords that attach to people. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And these cords can be positive or negative, and typically they are negative. And that's what we need to release from our lives.
Yeah. And what are those, how are those cords affecting us? Do they influence us?
They do. They are, some of them you can say are negative entities that will attach to those cords. And they will just kind of weigh down on us. And then that's what sends in that disease.
So that
which
does
is dis-ease as opposed to disease.
So there is, that supports the theory that I've heard a long time ago that, you know, I'm not going to blame it on spirits, but, you know, I've heard from a Native friend of mine, he said that part of his Native teaching said that every illness that you get is caused by a spirit. And I don't know if I say that everyone, but certainly I could see some could be influenced by that, right?
That's correct. And it goes back to a lot of teachings. The Native teachings address that, the Theosophical Society addresses that, and this was a society put together by Madame Blavatsky and Charles Ledbetter at the turn of the century, which was part of the movement of spiritualism and part of the movement of metaphysics.
Mm-hmm. So it's really been around. Go ahead.
Yeah. So then Ledbetter would say that that auric field or that etheric body with its web around you, then your actions will poke holes in that and spirits will attach or these cords will attach. And things like smoking and drinking will attract those type of negative entities.
Hmm.
The worst place to, you know, grab a hold of a negative entity is a bar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So.
A lot of negative because there's a lot of drinking going on, lowering vibration, right? It lowers the vibration. From what I understand, we get down to a level where they're at, and that opens the door for them to kind of have an influence on us.
Yes, and even in metaphysics, there's a couple different definitions for spirit, okay? And spirit, singular, is more or less your point of light or your soul within that oneness, all right? But spirits, with plural, are those negative, discarnate entities that attach to you.
Mm-hmm, yeah, okay.
And that's why, you know, they have wine and spirits.
Mm. Right.
Right?
Well, I just know that there are certain things we do that, like, you know, everything's that the highest vibration is love. And the more we focus on that, the higher vibration we are. And coming here is really lowering our vibration to begin with. So there are things that affect it, medications, drugs, you know, medications, alcohol. That's all going to lower the vibration and in some cases open the door. This happened to me one time. I don't know if this ever happened to you, Phil. I don't think I told you this story. But I was in my 20s. Now, I have never allowed alcohol to pass these lips, just so you know. I've led a holier-than-thou life. You know that's not true, right? Anyway, I was going down with my buddies to a Brewer game, and we had quite a few beers. And I wouldn't do that now, but back then, you know, that was the fun thing to do. Now, normally, I didn't get to the point. I always had this cutoff where I thought, I'm not going to get to that point. You know, just something always told me to stop. This game, for some reason, I didn't. And I do not remember the first seven innings of the game. But also on top of that, I do remember walking around the stadium and yelling at people like I was looking for a fight. And it's like, that was not me. I'm not that type of person. And it's almost like I was observing myself doing this. And finally, one of the guys I was with said, TJ, what you doing? Come on, come on. Let's go find you a seat. And I wound up passing out on my buddy's shoulder. he was pretty annoyed with me by the end of the game. But is that an instance? I'm sure it's an instance where you can open the door for something else that can obviously control and do things.
That's correct. And I have heard stories similar to yours, where as the person is coming out of the bar and then passing out, but the other person is seeing him standing next to him, just observing his body.
Hmm.
And you know, that was his higher self.
Wow.
So you had that similar experience where your highest self was looking at whatever spirit was controlling you.
Yeah. Yep. And I thought, I'm never going to let that happen again. And I never got myself to that quite that point. It was a good wake-up call for me. Some people, once they get locked into that, you know, that vibration, I think this is where it's hard for them to pull away because it's a strong pull, I guess, right?
Yes. And there are groups that will help them. I know that AA has a lot to do with meditation and finding God, and they do a good job.
Right, I think so too, from what I've seen of it. I don't know too many people that have gone through it. There was a woman I worked with, and she was going through it, and I thought, wow, this is really cool. I didn't realize it was so spiritual. And, I mean, you can go, you know, I don't judge religion either. I mean, if whatever brings you to loving, I always look at it, if it brings love in an unconditional, as much as unconditional way as possible, then I don't care what teaching you're getting it from. How do you feel about that, Phil?
I agree with you totally. I mean, unconditional love is the vibration of the universe. And again, what I mentioned before, it's that forgiveness that we can do goes a long way.
Now, who do we have to forgive? The people that trespass against us, or ourselves as well, probably?
Well, there's actually three parts of it. So in any given situation, then you want to forgive yourself for whatever part you had in it.
Okay.
Good or bad.
Okay.
And then just forgive yourself with God or Creator or whatever spiritual being that you choose to call. So forgive yourself with the Creator and then forgive the other person. Now, when you forgive the other person, you're releasing that karma associated with that situation for yourself. Now, the other person doesn't have to accept your forgiveness. And I see that a lot. even with my brothers.
Really?
Yes. So, and, you know, that's kind of tough. But then when you're in that position where you're releasing the karma, then you can go about your spiritual work.
Yeah, and you know, and what I find too is that you're so much more at peace. Well, I guess that's how you can go about your spiritual work, because you're not carrying that baggage around. And when you're happy and in a state of peace like that, it's hard to do that when you're still upset about something and holding on to it. So, makes a lot of sense.
And again, that's in the emotional aura or that body that, you know, can attach. Now, I know, like, a person for that, and I can say with that forgiveness that was unforgiven, okay, the person that I know was a particular butthole, I guess you'd call it, or there's another A-frame.
This is Reverend Dr.
All right. All right.
Yeah, go ahead.
You
say whatever you want.
So, okay, so the forgiveness was not accepted. And so, you know, and that was, you know, released, but like 4 years later, then the person comes up with colon cancer, and that's the karma that attaches to it.
Oh, interesting. So we can live our lives with forgiveness and detachment and letting go and love, unconditional love. We should be healthy most of the time then.
That's correct.
Hmm.
Now, you know, with that emotional, once you forgive, you know, there's another part of the emotion that we need to release is what you would call regretting certain situations.
Hmm.
All right? Or holding on to it, or kicking ourselves in the butt and saying, why shouldn't I do that? Or what could I have done better?
Yeah.
And but that, you know, you have to release and just let that go in the past.
Yeah, what difference does it make, I guess, huh?
Yep.
If you're going to be, if supposedly we go on forever, time doesn't exist, we have, how many lifetimes have we done this? Does any of this really, really matter? What about if you're, because, you know, recently you were working with somebody I know, and her father is ill, and I don't, you know, I said part of what we have to do is kind of detach from the people that we're connected to. Now, that seems like a hard thing to do, or means it seems like you go through life not caring about anything. But that's not what I'm saying. Do you know what I'm saying, Phil, about the detachment? Don't we have to reach some level of that?
Yes, we do. And it's a form of healing. And when we give that healing, it's we're giving it with the unconditional love. And we have to understand that when we have an emotional attachment or that cord of love to the other person, and sometimes we feel that they could make better decisions, well, we have to detach ourselves from that and just send them the best or that healing energy that we can.
And that healing energy is love, right?
That's correct.
Because people might say, well, I don't know what you mean, Philip. Do I visualize white light and send it to him? What would you suggest?
Well, there's lots. White light works pretty much on all the chakras, so that is fine. Pink light would be the unconditional love.
Mm. I didn't know that.
And then I would also use violet light. And violet light is a transmuting energy that transmutes negative vibrations into positive outcomes.
Hmm.
So it's more or less releasing the negativity and allowing that healing to come in and get the results that you need.
You know, I didn't always think this way, but it's become pretty clear to me, oh, I don't know, over the last few years or number of years here, but everybody's got their own journey. Everybody, and we all want to grab onto them and hold them. Well, you're my father, or you're my cousin, you're my son, you're my daughter, you're my spouse. And it's like, that's really not what the universe is about, is it? With individual beings, even though we're all connected, if you truly love that being, you have to honor that they have their own journey, and you have to let them go, because you're going to at some point.
That's correct. And as you mentioned that, I believe in the Bible there is that honor thy father and mother is one of the commandments. Mm-hmm. And so it's two things. If we look at it as the physical, it's honor them for the upbringing and the teachings that they have given you. But then when we look at it on the spiritual side, is honor the father and mother. Well, that's father, mother, God within. Mm-hmm. So then we have to make the right choices and just spiritually be aware of what choices we are making and what path we're going on, or knowing what we are doing is to benefit everybody.
What about the people that grow up and their parents are not very good? I know the answer, but I mean, what is your take on that? How does somebody move past that?
It goes, society has a lot to do with that. And especially in some countries, they have caste systems, which even affects what you just said worse. But if they don't have the good parenting or skills, or these people are just cruel, then the person has to look at their inner light and know that they were put on this planet for a purpose. And they have to figure out what their purpose is.
So do you believe, like, we choose our parents because we want to have the right conditions for whatever we want to accomplish in that life? So we're the ones responsible in a way, because is that something that happens?
It is, goes back into when we more or less ascend this light, then we have a life review, and we more or less visualize heaven as we think it is, and experience that for a time. Then we go to the karmic schools and go through about 8 levels and learn our karmic lessons. Then at that point, we're ready to come back. And then we sign this soul contract and we come back, and we are picking the parents. We are picking to more or less on the karmic end of things, correct a situation.
Okay. And so we have chosen them, and they haven't chosen us, because they're already in a physical body. Or does it work both ways like that?
Well, there are two things on that. It's that when the spirit enters the body, there's two thoughts. One of them comes in at the first heartbeat, and the other one is just as you're leaving, or just before you exit the birth canal.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought of it is it's coming at your first heartbeat. It's that after the conception.
Oh, really? That's when we first enter the body.
That's correct.
Okay. So, but again, the parents don't have a contract with the child that's coming in. The child, because they're already in the body, I guess my question is...
Yeah, you're correct.
Okay.
The child has the contract, as to what parents they are choosing.
Or could it be possible, just throwing this out there, but sometimes there isn't enough time between lifetimes to do this. Could it be possible that you agree to all these things with all these beings, and they may go down 70 years before you, or 40 years before you, or 30, and then there are several long-term agreements that you have. Now, an agreement always could be changed. I mean, there must be some of that going on as well, Phil.
Yeah, there is, and some people come back quicker than others. It's, for example, a person might have chose to come in and was stillborn, and that was kind of a karmic lesson for the parents there, and then as soon as that happens, they're ready to come back right away.
Mm. Some people, and then, you know, I've read this before because there's been several different books written about this, but one of the things, like life in life, and I read this in a, oh, I don't know if it was Life Between Life was the name of the book, but it only made sense to me that if you rush back into it, you can probably expect chaos, because just like in life, if you don't plan, you're going to have some bumps along the way. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I have heard about it. But it's more or less, you're talking about the spirit doing that. And to me, there may be some chaos. And I don't really believe it matters how soon you come back. If you are ready and that contract is agreed on, if you want that chaos in the life, it has to do with a karmic experience you need to correct.
Okay. So the waiting in between and time does not really exist anyway, so it doesn't really matter, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of like, for example, we had these earthquakes in Haiti a couple years ago, 2007 or 8, something like that. And then all these souls were released, and maybe one of them wants to come back to be an engineer so that he's preventing things from happening.
Oh. Speaking of which, now you and I were talking about this before the interview. We had this really strange, well, I mean, we had this outage in this area. I live out of town, so it didn't affect me, but where I live up here and I work, and I just happened to be gone that week. What does that say? But there were like 4 transformers that blew, and it was just highly unusual. They still don't know what caused it, and there was actually like a light shooting up in the sky. Some people reported seeing. Somebody even took video of it. And I wanted to get your take, because something just, like everything, it's more than always what you think it is, right? So what were you taking on that, Phil?
Well, the Sodis would say that was a ting.
A ting?
Right.
And and what does that mean?
I'm sorry, Escanaba in the moonlight.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, you're referring to that.
I'm sorry, I'm making you laugh now. So, no, but what I feel was it was a collection of negativity that was released.
And when you say negativity, are you talking about people or are you talking about the earth?
Both.
Okay.
So there's a lot of negativity that had caused up, and a lot of that can be negativity in thoughts.
In this area, you're saying.
Right.
This area.
And then Mother Earth might have release that too.
Mm.
It's, for example, okay, the negative thoughts might have been, well, this winter is too cold and too long.
Mm-hmm.
And then the earth says, okay, I'm going to release. Boom.
Wow. And so it can cause things like that to just blow right out, which made things a lot worse for people for a while, because they were without power for over a day, I think, maybe a couple days even, some people.
Well, okay, and that goes a lot to some thoughts about Woodstock.
Woodstock.
You know, and when, you know how it rained through the whole...
Oh, yeah.
...festival back in 68, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's, if the people weren't praying for, you know, stop rain, stop, if they were sending out positive vibrations and saying, come on, son. You know, it might have been a different result based on the collective thought going out there.
That's interesting. So, that's an interesting take on it because you're the second person that, you know the person. We've talked about this person. But you're the second person that felt it had something to do with an energy release or some kind of connected to. And that makes a lot of sense to me as far as that happening. So thank you. So people are dealing with difficult things in their life, which we said, you know, I keep hearing that this, especially now, since 2012, we're seeing a lot of shifts and changes. More, you know, it's going to continue to move. What doesn't serve us is going to go away. Is that correct?
Yes.
And we're trying to be balanced in some way. I think a lot of these things are trying to balance us, and the earth is trying to balance itself, and we're seeing this shift. So what can people do if you're just dealing with a lot of turmoil in your life? I mean, it's a big wake-up call.
It is, but what you're going to have to do is bring in the positive into your life and kind of what I said before, transmute that negative energy into positive outcomes. Now, part of that's going to take action on their part. The best thing for healing is to bring in that unconditional love and just let it flow through you and say some type of prayer or affirmation that you connect with. Some people will say it's a Lord's Prayer. Other people have other prayers that they say or affirmations. And just allow that to flow through you, cleanse you, and release the negative energies, which cause the, you know, dis-ease and all that.
Mm-hmm. And especially now because there's more turbulence going on with the planet. Because the planet is balancing itself out. So now you really have to be, people keep saying to me, you really have to be conscious of what you're thinking and saying, don't you?
Yes, you do. And there were a lot of doomsday people after 2012. And there were a lot of reports that there were going to be floods coming up the East Coast of the United States and wiping out everything 500 miles inland. And a lot of that has to do with other people sending out the positive thoughts out and preventing that from happening.
Holding the vibration.
That's correct.
So when all seems bleak, then maybe it's best to turn and look at it in a different way. Instead of focusing on the negative, focus on what it is that we want. It's like Mother Teresa. Didn't Mother Teresa say, she said she would never attend an anti-war rally, but she would attend a peace rally?
That's correct. And that is very true. Now, you said that Mother Earth is going through all these vibrations, and part of it has to do with the conflicts that we have all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But then other parts has to do with the planetary influences of the universe, and take that as you may.
Mm-hmm.
And we have what we call Saturn's influences are a little bit negative. Mercury goes retrograde every 39 days, I believe. And that comes in with a negative energy. But it's all in your belief systems, how you transmute it. Now, with Mercury retrograde, I transmute that stuff and say, it's not going to affect me. But I have people saying, oh, this went wrong because it's, you know, Mercury retrograde. And then you're giving your power away to astrologers and other people. So, but you just have to focus on your own spirit and all that energy involved with it, positive energy, clean, pure energy, that you are whole, physically, spiritually, emotionally.
doesn't seem that way when things are not going well for us, but you know, it's like that's when the battle's on a little bit. But I guess it's going to take us to another level of belief or understanding. You know, I usually, when something happens, I can always, last night, for example, maybe this happened because I was going to talk to you today, Phil. I've had this pump in my basement. I got two pumps. One will shoot the water over to another pump, and then it'll shoot it into a drywall. Well, this one pump, I've had it probably for 15 years since I moved in the house, 14 years. And I had a thought last year, you better replace that because that's pretty old. Pumps don't normally last that long. And, of course, you know, we have a high water level where I'm at. That's why they have the pumps.
Right.
And so last night, my wife went downstairs. She said, there's water. And, of course, it wasn't horrible. Fortunately, we go downstairs a lot so we check on it, keep an eye on it. And we had to mop it up, and I had to put a temporary pump in there, and I got it taken care of. So we're all pretty good. But those are the kind of things you could look at and be upset. And I just think it's kind of a blessing because what if I was gone for a long period of time and I came home to that? It always seems to happen, in my opinion, at the right time. Or I could have said, I could have cursed and swore, been upset. It's Phil's fault. I'm talking to him tomorrow.
That's correct. And, you know, that's, you know, putting the blame or just, you know, going with the flow of the universe.
And, yeah.
You know, it's...
It's
you can't, you can't cry over spilt milk. You just have to deal with the situation.
Well, sometimes you wonder if you brought it on by your thinking. You know, a thought crossed my mind, not for very long, but I thought, well, maybe I thought or said something or, you know, that. But maybe things have their course as well, right? And they just eventually are going to break down.
Yes.
So don't read too much into it. Is that what you're saying, Phil?
That's correct.
Okay. So what else would you like to talk about? We got a little more time here. Is there anything else, projects or things that you'd like to go into at this point?
Well, I wanted to go back to that control and trust issue.
Okay.
Which, you know, it kind of flows throughout, you know, everything we get involved with. The trust and control, whether it be your education, is what we are educated with, forms our beliefs, and in later in life, then we will figure out the truth for us ourselves when we awaken. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And your parents actually pick the schools you went to, whether it be the public school, a private school, etc. Okay, so you really didn't have the choice in that. But once you were there and getting that trust, now the control actually of education, more or less in the United States anyway, prepares us for the workforce.
Right, yeah.
Okay, that's, you know, you have bells going off, which represents the... start of a work day or a shift, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You have classes that you go through that start at certain hours, so it prepares you for meetings. The start of the day, the end of the day is your time cards, if that's going in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all this control that they're putting in there. You get good grades, then that equates to good promotions.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's kind of controlling us to be ingrained into the system that we are. Okay.
We don't even realize a lot of it, too, because that sounds like a lot of subconscious stuff you're talking about as well, right?
That's correct. It's ingrained with us until, you know, we wake up and we say, well, all this is an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then religion kind of does the same thing to us. Our parents pick our religion. If you're Catholic, then they raise you and say that you have to be saved. All right? And the question is, saved from what?
Hmm.
All right? So we have, and they assume that you are a sinner.
Yeah.
Okay?
Born into a
racial
system.
Yep, born into, and then you're baptized by water, and that purifies you. But because you're a sinner, you have to be saved. But in metaphysics, it's more or less you have choices.
Right.
A right choice or a wrong choice, and that might necessarily be wrong. It's just a different choice.
Right.
But then that's on your path of thinking or knowing, and that's where you're going. And not to just pick on Christianity, but if we look at Buddhism, then the path to enlightenment is to find out the cause of suffering.
Right.
Well, then that assumes, that religion assumes that you have to suffer, but
yeah.
Nobody has to suffer.
No.
They just need to love themselves.
Exactly.
So, but it's these control mechanisms that until you awaken and, you know, find out, well, this is another illusion.
Right. And I sometimes wonder if there's an illusion beyond what we believe and perceive to be, you know, the next levels of consciousness. How much further does it go beyond that? You know, there's the reincarnation cycle, but, you know, others have said that there's many levels beyond that. That even when we pass and we see our guides and we see our loved ones and maybe a spiritual figure, that's on a certain level, and you don't have to even go there if you choose not to.
That's correct. And then you have the levels of concurrent lifetimes or concurrent timelines. All right,
mm-hmm.
So this is my illusion now, but I could be a king in another illusion.
Mm-hmm. And it's all happening at once, that part of it as well.
Right.
That's the part that's hard for me to grasp on. You remember when you were talking about the student that followed what the parents, that wasn't me, by the way. I was the guy that was kind of goofing around, daydreaming, you know. So a lot of that stuff went over my head.
But it all goes into, you know, all this trust and control is then we get to a point where we need to follow our intuition and know that what we are doing is for ourself,
mm-hmm.
and to love ourselves first before we love others.
Mm.
And when we love ourselves, then we follow our passion. And that's how we make a difference in the world. But I talked to numerous people, and they do not know what their passion is.
Mm.
So, because they've been in that trust and control, and I'm supposed to do this.
Is the passion something that's going to be always of a higher, if you want to label it, of a higher walk, or the passion, just whatever it is you have a great joy in doing this time around?
That's what I would say. To be happy is your passion. What makes you happy will make other people happy, or your joy.
And so, you know, if I guess I look at it like this, what I'm trying to say on it is you could really do next to nothing, but if you're truly filled with joy, that in itself, just observing things around you, you're living the example, and you're setting that vibration out, so you're contributing to the whole of everything that's here. And there's not a lot of us probably that do that all the time, or a lot of people doing that. So to me, that sounds like the greatest way to, if you want to make a difference. You can't convince others, that's not the way to go. You can't say, this is for your best interest. I'm going to punch you in the jaw. Okay, boom. No. I'm going to kidnap you. You're going to join my cult. No, it's for your own interest. But you can only think you do is be the unconditional love and expand that wherever you go. And I know a lot of people I talk to will say, and I think that they're on a good course, but they say, well, we're here to make a difference, and we're here to wake people up, and we're here to do these things. And I think, yeah, somewhat, I might have signed up for that. But ultimately, the best thing I can do is hold the vibration of love and try to do that as long, as consistently as I can. That's the way I kind of see it, Phil.
And that is a good way of seeing it. And there's a lot of just practice it. There's a lot of people who preach it, you know, and then we'll say, well, why don't you practice it?
Yeah. Sometimes that's me. Sometimes that's me, Phil.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's life's experiences. So.
Yeah, it's usually not so much what people do to me as much as when I see others do things to other people. But that's their own journey. You know, I guess that's not my issue to get involved, but that's the part of me that I think, I don't know, the warrior in me at one point, you know, they used to be a warrior, or because it's this self-righteous kind of ego mentality. And ultimately, I mean, somewhere along the way you have to draw the line in life. If you have a loved one who's being threatened by danger from someone else, you know, you could take the observance and say, well, that's the universe. That's what's playing out. It's all meant to be. Honey, I'll be in the car. Okay. Good luck with that mugger. Or do you step in and take action? And, you know, there's a part of me that would step in and take action at that point.
Yes, and I would too. Because that is, again, that right or wrong choice, but it's also knowing what is right and knowing what is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, I truly believe we, you know, everybody, I don't understand everybody's reason for what they do, and so I honor that as far as there are people that commit atrocities. I don't support it, but that's the vibration of what's going on here. And so we are shifting into a time when I think that eventually is going to go away, the duality that we came here to. Do you think that there's always going to be this duality experience? Are we heading in a direction where there's going to be a time when that won't exist anymore?
We are headed in that direction. But again, the people who are in control are going to hold on to it as long as possible. And that infrastructure is breaking. I don't know if we'll see it in our time, but it is breaking.
Yeah, you can see a lot of that going on. And I guess whatever we choose to believe and say, maybe we contribute to that as well. So it could happen.
Well, the more people who send it out to the universe or that creative consciousness, then the more that will happen.
So the thing is, because I see creation as allowing others to experience this and create. And so while people will say, well, good, evil's going to leave. And I say, it's not really evil. It's just those serving a purpose that are in darkness and choosing not to be in the light. And actually, by not being in the light, they're serving a purpose so we can experience duality and experience this. But the earth and groups of people here are saying, that's enough. We don't want this. So I see, in my mind, these beings going somewhere else, because there's probably always going to be souls that will want to experience those kind of things in the universe? Or do you think that's going to go away completely?
It will. But you have to go back to your words about Mother Teresa, that we have all these groups, you know, creating all this to happen, but we can't, you know, be fanatical about it either and, you know, fight evil with evil.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can't.
It's like,
you don't fight fire with gasoline, in other words, right?
Yeah, you're not going to take a boat and start firing upon a whale ship because they're, you know, harvesting whales. But that was something that I saw on TV or something.
I guess my point on it is that what I'm asking, Phil, is, are there places, I can't imagine, there's life on many, many planets. I can't imagine that some of them are more evolved than we are. Probably a lot of them are more evolved than we are, but some of them are less evolved in their spiritual growth. And so while duality and what some people would call negativity exist here, it's part of the experience. And I assume that it's going to exist elsewhere in the universe even once this leaves here. Or do you think the whole universe is going to be cleaned up?
I believe the whole universe is going to be
one big mop job. That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Wow.
One big mop job.
So what's going to happen to the beings that are not of the light, that choose not to be of the light?
That is...
That's a good question, huh?
No, I'm just seeing one big black hole.
Really? That's what you're seeing?
And then, poof, you know, extinguished. So, yeah.
So when you say extinguished, what do you mean? They're not...
Well, or you know, all right, they're going down this black hole, and that's going to be closed.
And so, but they are going to be reunited with their higher self at that point, or...
Yes.
Okay, so they can be brought back to, because it's been like that for a long time.
That's correct. Well, some people will say that Earth is a prison colony.
Yeah, I've heard that. But don't you think there's probably other places in the universe where there's prison colonies or those kind of things going on?
Yep, I do.
Okay. So this is a consciousness that's going on throughout the whole universe. And who knows how many other planets right now.
That's correct.
Wow. That's mind-boggling to think about all that. We're just caught up in our own little world. Hey, look what's happening to me.
But the beings of light, or, you know, the ascended masters, if you want to call them that, the Galactic Council, if you want to call that. But they're all, you know, these beings of light that are working for that change.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's going to happen. It's just we have to send out that positive vibration.
Right. It's up to us. How we want our world to be is what we're going to experience.
That's correct.
Well, I appreciate you taking your time to chat with me, and it's really a lot of fun for me to connect with you. I enjoy what it is you have to say. I enjoy the fact that you have a little silly sense of humor like me a little bit.
Yep. So, well, I appreciate your time as well, TJ.
And we'll keep in touch. And I know if people want to contact you, what is your website?
It is www.revdrphil.com. Well, thank you. Always a pleasure to be on your show, TJ.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.